You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice
of
Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Hi, Pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we trust that you had a marvelous, marvelous Thanksgiving, and hopefully you're getting to enjoy some quality time with your family. Maybe you're away and listening to this on your iPhone or smartphone via the TuneIn app, or you could be listening on demand through WMIEFM.com. You may be having to work, and if that's the case, I can empathize with you. I spent 13 years working in retail the Friday after Thanksgiving. But if you are having the day off and you're still listening to this, I wanna talk to you today about a specific topic. I'm going to read in Matthew chapter 16. I want to invite you, if you do not have a church home or are new to the area, to come to Merritt Assembly of God. Sunday, we will be having our traditional schedule, Sunday school at 9:30, worship service at 10:30, and Sunday night at 6:30. We would love to have you come and be a part of that. 165 North Grove Street. We're right in the heart of Merritt Island. We're two blocks off of Courtney, which is the main thoroughfare going north and south, and we are two blocks north of 520, which is the main thoroughfare going east and west. So we are behind the Pizza Hut, the Tires Plus, depending upon which road that you are on. We are right in the heart of what used to be known as Merritt Park Place. We would love to have you come and check us out and worship the King with us. So because of my years in retail, Thanksgiving for me was always a bless, and it also came with a discouraging side, and that is I knew that my life, because I was in management and I got to work as many hours as they wanted me to without any extra compensation, I knew I was going to get to work really, really hard. And I had to have my Christmas decorations up before I left for vacation before we left for Thanksgiving on Thursday. I also had to have all of the stock, all of the sales ready, because they said that Black Friday was going to be one of the busiest shopping days of the year. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about Black Friday. I want to talk to you about where the name came from and what it means, and hopefully we can give you a little bit of clarification on that and why I'm doing the teaching series that I am doing today for that topic. And so if you would allow me, I want to share with you just a little bit about the term Black Friday. Black Friday, the meaning of that appears to have originated back in Philadelphia, because there were so many people who were off the Friday after Thanksgiving that the increased shopping traffic and cars driving, that the police officers in that community described the disruptive patterns as Black Friday. It also later became known as a Black Friday because there were so many people who decided that they didn't want to come back to work on Friday after being off Thursday, working Friday, and then having 2 days off, that so many people called in sick that it was a Black Friday as far as productivity. But retailers, back in the late 70s and early 80s, they started embracing the term Black Friday because in an accounting principle, if you are operating in the red, that means you are operating at a financial loss. And if you are operating in the black, that means that you are profitable. And that Christmas shopping season, which typically begins the day after Thanksgiving, now it's moved up to the day of Thanksgiving, and it's probably won't be long till there are people who don't close any stores on Thanksgiving at all for any length of period of time. That was when they made their money. That was the amount of profit that they were going to make during the year. And so Black Friday marked a transition from being unprofitable to profitable. And that's the principle that I want to address with you today, not from a financial standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint. What does it look like to turn the corner and becoming profitable? So I've got a lot of scriptures here to go through, and so I'm not going to be able to spend a lot of time elaborating on many of these things, but I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24, and it says this: Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So there are things in life that are unprofitable, and then there are things that are eternally profitable. And if we are going to increase our profitability, then we need to rid ourselves of those things that are unprofitable and embrace those things that are profitable. And so one of the things that I advise people is when they have a job, when they're working for an employer, is to make yourself a part of the asset sheet where you are indispensable because you generate profits for the company. Okay? That's whether it's you're a profitable team member, whether it's your profitable salesperson, whatever it might be, you want to be on that side where you are deemed an asset and not a liability. Because this world system's economic sheet is quite cyclical. There's ups and downs. And when there are ups, those people who are profitable, they're in higher demand, and companies want to do what they can to keep those employees because they are profitable. I came to Florida because a what is known in the industry as a headhunter came looking for me because I had been a profitable manager for the company that I used to work for. I know other people that were deemed so good at their job that other people came looking for them. In fact, I'm a bit spoiled in that in most of my adult life, I have had people looking for me, not me having to look for them. Now, in a down economy, you want to make sure that you are profitable as well, because in a down economy, they are going to begin eliminating jobs of people who are least profitable. Now, today we're not going to just be talking about an economic scale. In fact, I'm more concerned about your eternal profitability than I am your economic profitability. So you and I, we have to realize here from Matthew chapter 16 that gaining the whole world at the cost of our eternity, that our eternal soul and our eternal spirit are sacrificed at the altar of these temporal things, that is an unprofitable way to live. You don't want to do that. So let's begin looking at some things that the Bible talks about as being unprofitable. And again, I'm sorry, I've got so much material here for this one broadcast that I'm not going to be able to elaborate much. So you may want to make note of this, that it's the Friday after Thanksgiving. And you can go there and you can check off this list and you can listen to them. You can go back and write those verses down. I listened to an on-demand broadcast of this radio station, and you can hit the pause button. And so that's, if you don't get all of these verses, go to WMIEFM.com, and you can get a copy, or you can download or listen on demand, and you can pause it whenever you want to pause it so that you can write the verses down. So 1 Samuel chapter 12, 21. Again, we're talking about things that are unprofitable, things that we want to get rid of out of our lives. And it says there, and do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. You do not want to pursue things that are not substantive. You pursuing, quote unquote, things is unprofitable. Pursuing things that are empty, they are void of any substance. They only deal with the superficial. Those are things that are unprofitable, and you want to eliminate those. In Job chapter 33, verse number 27, it says, then he looks at men and says, I have sinned and perverted what is right, and it did not profit me. And so I want you to see that sin is unprofitable. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season, but it's not profitable. And you want to make sure that you are profitable. So the quicker you rid your life of sin, the quicker you lay ungodly habits on the altar and say, God, would you minister to this situation? The sooner you do that, the greater spiritual profitability you are going to have. Embrace righteousness. Righteousness is profitable, but sin is unprofitable. And that's pointed out in our next verse here. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 4, where it says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. I think getting delivered from death is a pretty profitable thing. And so no matter how much money you have, it may look profitable in your bank. It may enable you to do some things in this life, but money has no eternal value when it is operating in the spirit of mammon. And instead, what you need to do is you need to use wealth to influence the kingdom of God, to advance the kingdom of God. That is where the real profitability is, and that's where the real profitability lies. And I want you to know, no matter what your balance sheet looks like, you can be dirt poor and have a spirit of greed. I've seen it with my own eyes. You can also be abundantly wealthy and not bound by the wealth of this world. Instead, you use that as tools instead of as a stronghold or a stranglehold in your life. Greed is idolatry, the New Testament says. And so riches are eternally unprofitable. So don't pursue just the biggest paycheck. I have seen a lot of people get promoted right into a backslidden life. They get promoted at work, or their business advances, and pretty soon they're giving so much time to their business that they don't have any time to really focus on their spiritual life, and they end up being unprofitable. Let's go on to the next verse, which is Isaiah chapter 44, verse number 9. Those who make an image, all of them are useless, and their precious things shall not profit. They are their own witnesses. They neither see nor know, that they may be ashamed. Idolatry is unprofitable. In the NIV, it says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. And so... idolatry is any time that we put anything or anyone at a higher level of importance in our life than God. for many people, there's a documentary that I had seen advertised at one point in time, and that was called The Religion of Sports. I didn't watch it, but it talked about how that literally sports become some people's idols. Education can become other people's idols. There's nothing wrong with education, but don't make it an idolatry. There are people who, listen, the devil will want to take anything. You know, the Bible talks about people who take a stump of wood and they make an idol out of it, even though it has no life in it. So there are people who will make an idol out of anything, and I want you to know that that is unprofitable. If you want to be profitable, you need God to be at the foremost of your importance in life. So I can tell from the clock right now, we're not going to be able to get through all of these things, and so maybe I'll come back and spend a little more exhaustive period of time at a later time, or at a different time, talking about these things. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 8 says, "The priest did not say, 'Where is the Lord?' And those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit." And so you see there again that pursuing things that are other than God, operating in a lifestyle that is contrary to what God has said, and surrounding yourselves with people who do not know God, that increases your unprofitability. It doesn't make you more profitable. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 11, "Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit." And there again, you see that substituting anything less than the glorious, majestic presence of God is unprofitable for a person, it's unprofitable for a family, it's unprofitable for a nation. Don't do it. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse number 8, it says, "Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit." There are too many people who are skilled in deceit and skilled in lying and trusting in that, and that is unprofitable. I deal with a lot of people, and so I want to find out what kind of spirit they are operating in. The Bible talks about the spirit of truth, and it also talks about deceiving spirits. And so please do not take it personal that if someone comes to the church, I want to know if they're operating in the spirit of truth, which is profitable, or if they're operating in the spirit of deceit, which is unprofitable. And so I've just been around long enough to want to make sure that that the words and the lifestyle operate in unison. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 32 says, "Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tells them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord." Now, there are false prophets that are unprofitable. There are several things about them that make them unprofitable. First of all, they are prophesying things that are not true. They are prophesying fantasy and not reality. They prophesy in a manner that causes people to lead an erroneous lifestyle, and there is these false prophets operate in recklessness. And here is the real kicker: these people operate without being sent or commissioned or commanded by God, and that is what makes us profitable. So false prophets are unprofitable. Getting rid of them would increase your level of profitability. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 2, Paul writes, "Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing." What this is talking about is that there were people who were substituting the works of the flesh for the grace of God that was made available to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Anytime you sacrifice the grace of God, anytime you begin in the Spirit, but then you begin to operate in the flesh, it ceases to become profitable, and it becomes unprofitable. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 14. "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers." There are some people who just love to argue. They want to argue about anything. They want to argue about the color of the sky and the color of the grass and all of that sort of stuff. And listen, arguing is unprofitable, and it not only affects those who are engaged in the argument, but it also increases the unprofitability of those bystanders who happen to be hearing about the trivial stuff that is being discussed and argued about. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 2 says, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." So coming to church, hearing the word, but not adding faith to it, not embracing it, reading the word, but not adding faith to it, is unprofitable. So you want to make sure that when you come, when you worship in faith, and when you are in church, you are listening with faith, and when you go out, you are living by faith. Here's another one of those combined verses where there's unprofitability and profitability, and that says this: "For bodily exercise," 1 Timothy 4:8, "for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of this life that now is and of that which is to come." There are some people that want to read this verse and they want to discount bodily exercise. I want you to know that it is of importance that you maintain the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So it does have a little bit of profit. It doesn't have eternal profit. So when you get to heaven, it's not going to matter what you did as far as excelling in athletics, or if you could run a marathon or a 4-minute mile. But it says godliness is profitable for all things. And so it's saying if you have to choose between exercise and profit and godliness, you want to choose godliness, but you also need to take good care of your physical being. Okay? Please understand that. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse number 10, says that it is unprofitable, this evil people who refuse to hear my words, who follow the dictates of their heart and walk after other gods, to serve them and worship them, shall be just like this sash, which is profitable for nothing. So, listen, I know people who said, to whom much is given, much is required, and they have said, well, I don't want much to be required of me, and so I don't want to avail myself of the resources that God has for me. You don't understand that is diminishing your profitability to the kingdom. Okay? Refusing to hear God's word and instead of embracing God's will and doing your own will, those are things that make a person unprofitable. Okay? And God, listen, Jesus told the disciples, he said, "It is expedient for you that I go to the Father, because if I don't go to the Father, I cannot send the Holy Spirit to you." And so Jesus operates in such a manner that things will be profitable for you, that you and I will be profitable for the kingdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord." And so I just want to share with you that arrogance is an unprofitable way to live. You don't want to be boasting. In fact, Paul said, if I'm going to boast about anything, I'm going to boast about the Lord. So we've got just a couple of minutes here before the end of the broadcast. Let's look at some things that are profitable. Psalm 30, verse 9 says, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare you? Will it declare your truth? And so you need to know that as long as you have breath in your lungs, you're profitable for the kingdom. If you have lived your life well and left a legacy of faith, you can be like one of the heroes of the faith that are more and more profitable even as generations go on. Paul died 2,000 years ago, almost 2,000 years ago, but he's still being profitable today because of the life that he lived. Live in such a manner that your lifestyle is profitable to God. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 23 says, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. There's another area where Solomon writes that what profit does a man have from all of his labor? That's in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and all the labor which I have toiled that it wasn't profitable, vanity of vanity, there's no profit under the sun. Listen, work has profit. You are supposed to work for the glory of God. When you go to work, that doesn't mean that you check your Christianity at the door. You let your light shine there. There are too many people who are sitting around hoping that things are going to come to them when you are supposed to be occupying till God comes. And so if you have the ability to go out and have a job, you need to go out and do that. You would be amazed at the blessings that come your way simply because you have said, I'm going to work for the glory of God. That is profitable. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 9 says this, moreover, the profit of the land is for all, even the king is served from the field. So it is really profitable when you and I are seeking not only for our own interest, but that we are seeking the best interest of those on the whole. And so there are many times I've made decisions that were not in the best interest of Bob selfishly for that moment, but they have been beneficial for the church as a whole. And in the long run, that made it beneficial for me. So today,
thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.